So today I want to do some exercises, and I guess I was a little bit fast with the slides yesterday, so we'll just do some more basic stuff, and then maybe if everybody is fine with it, we can do something with functions. But we just have to see if everybody's on the same page. So first I want to show you the VAM. That's for visualizing the different virtual machines from the lecture. And it's just a jar, and you can download it and then basically use all the instructions from the slides and get and can simulate it here. So for example, I have loaded this file. You can change the virtual machine here, and per default it looks for the extension and then sets the machine. So if you have files that end in CMA, it automatically sets the C machine. And for the worksheets, it would be nice if you also just zip the, or when there's an exercise with code, just zip the CMA files, and then it's easier for me to check it. Okay, so I have a small example here, and here you can switch between step by step and non-stop, and then you can just, here you load the program first, and then you can run it. So now it's at the first instruction here, which loaded 42 onto the stack. And the next one is the duplicate instruction. So when you click, you see that it duplicates the cell that's on top of the stack, and then you have two cells. And then next step, multiply, and then you get the result on top of the stack. Okay. So I don't know if everybody has a laptop or can share with someone. And then I thought we do some practice examples. I don't know if you want to try it yourself first, probably makes more sense, and then I'll show you my solution. And so first example is here odd, so it takes one cell on top of the stack, that's an integer, and then returns one or zero depending whether that number on top of the stack was odd. So, well, bool is, we just have integers, but that's just for clarification that it's either 1 or 0. And then, well, even is dual to that. And, yeah, then when you're done with that, we can look at some more complex stuff, like here the greatest common divisor for two numbers. And, yeah. So you get one number on top of the stack, and you should just replace that number with the result here. Is that clear? Have you tried clicking on the program button?
Yes, that's what I'm doing. Ah.
Yeah. Well, that shouldn't be the case. I don't know why. Well, I guess we'll just take 5 minutes or something for the first two, and then I can go around.
Thank you.
Is it okay if I continue? Everybody? Who needs more time? Who doesn't need more time? So, go ahead with the first two. Let's say we have as an input the number 3, top of the stack, and then we want to have 1 if it's odd or 0 if it's even. So we can just load 2 on the stack and then do the modulo operation, and that's it. Because then the remainder is 1, then it was an odd number, and we get 1, which is 2 in C. So we can look at it here. What? Okay, so if I go through it step by step, that's the input, and then I load 2 on top, and then I do the modulo, and then I have 1 true, it was an odd number. And for example, if I change that here, we can say this. So let's say we have 8, then we do modulo 2, yields 0, so it wasn't odd. Okay, now for even, it's just the negated version of that here. So we can copy that, and then do this, and that's, it should be it. So 3 is odd, then I just throw that away, and then the next thing is even, 4 is, the modulo is 0, and then I do not, and then the 0 becomes 1, and then I have the right result for that even function, or macro, whatever. Is that okay with everybody? Questions? Okay. So the next exercise would be here the greatest common divisor of two numbers. So let's say you have the first argument on the stack and then on top of that the second, and then you can use Euclid's algorithm and calculate the result for these two. And for that you obviously will need a loop, and that's basically the two things you need for implementing that.
Can you use labels and labels and jobs also?
Yeah. Labels are just like this. For example, you have loop here, and then you can do, I don't know, an instruction here, and then somewhere else you can just do jump loop, and then it jumps to that label. So, just like labels in C. So maybe for a start, if it's you can just assume that you have the first argument here, and then that's the second argument, and then you can later do load A0, which loads the A, that's the 12, and if you load A1, that's the second cell from the bottom. Yeah, jump, and then directly after the jump, the label. Thank you. minutes maybe, I don't know, or more time.
Thank you.
So maybe I'll just go ahead, and then you can, I don't know, maybe somebody's stuck on something, but Factorial is pretty similar to this one, so you can try that then. So we don't need anything with a heap, we just need these two variables, basically. So that's A, which is at cell 0, and B is at cell 1. So the first thing we should do is check whether B is 0. So we can just do a dub, or maybe it's better if we use load A, and then the address, and it's clearer what we are doing. So B is at 1, and if we do load A 1, then we load the value of B, and then we can do jump 0, and then we jump somewhere to a label, and that label is called done, and then we can put stuff here. So if B is 0, then we just want to return A, or we just want to have A left on the stack, and at this point we have still B there, so we can just do pop, and then we will only have A left. Okay? So, and now we just need to do this. Let's see, we load B, which will be saved into A, and then after that we do the A mod B, so we load A, and then we load B, and then we do a mod, and then on top of the stack we have the A mod B, and that we can store into the B, and then store doesn't remove the thing on the stack, so we need to do a pop, and then we have our old B left, and that we store into A, and then we pop that, and then we jump to the beginning of the loop. Which needs to be here, which is checking the base case. Okay? Okay, that's the A, B, then we load B, check if it's 0, and if it's 0, we jump to done, but it's 8, so we just remove it from the stack, and then we load B again, now we're here, and then we load A and B, and then we do the modulo, and store that into B, and then pop the thing that's left, and then we have the old B which we store into A, and then we pop that, and that's our next call of the function, basically, and then we jump back, and then repeats. So now we are almost done. We load B, then we do the jump 0, and then you already see the thing we jump to is the done label. Okay? So we jump to done, and then pop the old B value, and the result is an A. Okay. Any questions? Okay. The next thing would be factorial function. So for factorial, or do we want to? Should I go through it again? Maybe. Okay. So we have these two variables, a and b. A is at 0, and then b is at 1. And that are the parameters for this little program. And then the first thing is we check if b is 0. If it's 0, we are done, and the result is in the a variable. So we can just pop the b. And if it's not 0, we have to do these two things. So we have to kind of swap the values from A and B, and that's why we just load all of them onto the stack. Then we have no problems with overwriting something we still need later. So we load the old B, and then we load A and B, do the modulo, store that away into B, and then pop that. And then we store the B we loaded here into the A, and then jump back. That's it. So for the factorial, you will need the input argument is n, and then you decrease that until you're at 0, and then you will still need some accumulator where you save the result of the multiplication. Maybe I should say you don't need any heap instructions. It's you can just put everything on the stack and then load from there. Yep.
So in that case, the stores put the results on the stack. If the addresses are in the stack.
Well, the stack starts at 0. So if you have load 0, then it loads the cell at the bottom and puts it on top, and then the store takes an address as the store A takes an address as an argument, and then stores the cell on top into that argument address and leaves the thing you stored on top of the stack.
Is it good style to access the stack like that?
why not? What? But the thing is, you know, for all your statically defined variables, the relative address in your function you're currently in. So you can you have for every address in your address environment row, you can look up what's the address of that and then do a load for the function and then it loads that variable. Don't have any char type or something. You just assume that every cell is an integer and then you take that number as it would be a string. You can assume that's an char, something like a char character array in C, and then you have here the character code for first character, and then the string is terminated by a 0 byte, and then this string length function should return the you give it the address to the first element of the string, and then it should return the length on top of the stack. Okay?
Thank you.
No, it's just allocating on the stack. So you get have a number on top of the stack, and then you should just do load C0 times that number. There's an alloc function later in the slides that does exactly that. Basically, it changes the stack pointer, but you have no way of manipulating that directly, so you can just do loads, load C. Huh? Load C0. One more time, or should I go ahead? 2 minutes? Okay.
Im Endeffekt ist es jetzt zweimal die Gebietsversion.
Ja, genau, aber ich habe es einmal gezählt.
here would be one way of doing it. The first cell is the argument n at 0, and then we need another cell where we store the intermediate result. And for the first, we can just duplicate the input. So we have 3 on the stack twice. And for the 0 case, that's somehow special case, we can check it later and just start with a loop here. And then we can load n. And then decrease it by 1. And then if we reach 0, we want to jump somewhere. And in this case, n has reached 0, and the accumulator has already the result, so which is on top of the stack. And we can overwrite the input n, which is 0 now, and then pop the accumulator. So we and now the jump C consumed the value we needed, and that's why we should maybe duplicate it before. And now we have the n minus 1 in the accumulator below that. So we can multiply those two. And then we already have our new accumulator. And then we jump back. Yeah. Maybe we need to pop here. So let's try if it works. Okay, we have 3, that's our input, then we duplicate it, then that's our n, and that's our accumulator. And then we load our n, decrease it, duplicate it, and then check if it's 0. No, it's not 0. And then we multiply those two, and now we already have our next value in the accumulator. And then we jump back. Haha, I forgot to store the result. Yeah, it's better. So we can just do this. We decreased n and override the old n at cell 0. And then we can just load it here again. So we load n, decrease it, and then write it back. And then we check if this n minus 1 is 0. No, it's not. And then we load the updated n again, and then multiply those. And then we have here in the accumulator the next value, and here the n is also the next value. So we write that back, and now we do the jump C to done. And now the pop is wrong. We just need to store the 6 down here and pop the 6 on top.
If you have as entry a 0,
yeah, that's,
I think you get a -1 somehow, and then your jump 0 is not working.
Yeah, then it doesn't terminate. That's why we need to consider if the input here is 0, then we need to check that before the loop and jump to special case. So we load n, and if it's 0, we jump to some, let's call it factorial 0, and then we just insert that here, maybe, and load the value for 0, which is 1. So we do factorial 0, the result is 1. And then it just falls through here. We have 0 at the bottom. That's our accumulator. No. Need to store that. And then do this, and then it's okay. Change it. So we have 0 now. We load it, and that's the accumulator, and then we load n. It is 0, and then we jump here. Load the new accumulator and store it into the old one, remove that one, and then we just fall through into the done case, which just stores the accumulator into the input from the beginning. Okay? So the next thing would be, that's easier, we just assume we have on the stack some integers, which and each cell corresponds to a character code. So for example, here 102 is the character F, and then the next one O and O, and then this array is terminated by a cell which contains 0, and that's just how strings in C work too. And then the string length function in C, if you give it an address to the beginning of such a character array, it just looks until it finds the terminating 0 and returns the length until then. Okay? So that you can copy, that's the starting point, and then the address of this character array is just 0. So you have 0 on, you have this array, and then you have after that 0, which is the address to the start of the array, and then you should replace that 0 address with the length of the array. Okay? Now you have, wait, executed. So this is the input, the address to the beginning of the array.
Yes.
And then that should be replaced with length.
Okay.
So we load the array in here, which spells foo, and then terminated by 0. And then we have as an input the address to here. Yeah, maybe it's clearer if I do something here, which is not part of the string, that's just something before, which we are not interested in, and then the starting address would be one in this case. If you want to subtract the addresses, there's a negate instruction. So you can use it. Add spelled NET. Just leave that as an input. You have the address, and then you replace the address with the length. Yeah, that's totally fine. Should I go ahead? No. So we have the starting address as an input, and then we can just duplicate that and use it for walking through the array, and okay, and then we need to duplicate that again, the walking address, and load it. Then we have on top of the stack the value pointed to by current address. And then if that is zero, we have reached the end of the array. And then we have the two addresses left, so we can subtract them. But then we would subtract the start address from the end address, so the length would be negated. That's why we can do neg, and then we have the right length. And well, if it's not zero, then we have to increase the current address. By one, and then jump back. Hope that works. So the start address, current address, duplicated, loaded, then we have the first value of the array, and then we do the jump zero, not zero, and then we increase the current address and jump to the loop again, and then just continue. Now we have the second element. Wasn't zero, so we start. Okay, now we were at the last element and we jumped to here. And now we subtract one. We do 1 minus 4. So we have minus 3 as the length, and then if we negate that, we have the correct length on top of the stack. And that's it. Questions? What do you mean for this one? Yeah, you can just use a variable and start from zero and count it up until you reach the end. Yeah. But you can just subtract the addresses because you can assume that the array elements are one after the other, not with gaps in between. That's it. If you want, I can upload that file, and then you can have a look at it again. Yeah. Any more questions, remarks? No? Okay, then I'm done.